Welcome to Beneath the Surface. I'm Susie Wiseman. On this Memorial Day, we commemorate by looking at how to end the war in Iraq with Tom Hayden, whose new book, Ending the War in Iraq, continues his years of service to this country. Years of anti-war legislative and oppositional experience combined with his historical understanding, strategic thinking, and commitment to peace and justice to lay out a plan to apply pressure to the pillars of war policy to finally end the war. But first, we begin with the casualties of this war, the vets who on this day of remembrance are getting short shrift from the medical system they now require for life and are getting denied benefits due to a diagnosis of personality disorder. Joshua Kors returns to Beneath the Surface to update us on the saga of mistreatment of the war wounded once they return. And finally, on this Memorial Day, we memorialize the ones who aren't remembered, who die horrible deaths in torrid heat, the workers who trek north to do essential work and feed their families. Many more of them have died in the Arizona desert than all of those who were killed crossing the Berlin Wall in all of the years of its existence. We speak to Walt Staten of No Más Muertos, No More Deaths. All this when our program returns in just a moment. And welcome to Beneath the Surface. I'm Susie Wiseman, very pleased to be with you on this Memorial Day as we commemorate the war dead, the war wounded, and we also look at how we can end the war on tonight's Beneath the Surface. And we begin with Joshua Kors, who returns to this program to update us on the saga of mistreatment of the war wounded once they come back. And Joshua Kors is a freelance journalist based in New York. His article was How Specialist Town Lost His Benefits. It appeared in the April 9th issue of The Nation magazine. And it went beyond the scandal at Walter Reed and the shabby treatment of veterans and the troops to show how soldiers are being at least triply cheated. They're being regularly misdiagnosed with a pre-existing condition of personality disorder so that the military medical system can avoid taking care of them. And in addition, they are deliberately lied to so that they sign these 513s, which we heard about on the last time Joshua was here, which require them to pay back money for previous treatment, and they lose their benefits. This scandal encapsulates multiple crises with our military policy and our national health care delivery through insurance companies' policy. And so on today, on Memorial Day, Joshua Kors is back with an important update on this continuing scandal with our injured vets. Welcome back, Joshua.
Good to be with you, Susie.
Well, let's just start on the first point. What has happened following your article? Has there been some legislative action?
Yeah. My article focused on Specialist John Town, a soldier who was wounded in Ramadi, Iraq, by a rocket. The rocket attack left him largely deaf, and he was given the Purple Heart to honor his wounds. But when he came back and it was time to discharge him and provide him benefits, the Army decided that his hearing loss was actually caused by a pre-existing personality disorder, and discharging him that way, they were able to boot him from the military without providing him disability or medical benefits. And as you alluded to earlier, they also forced him, as they do all soldiers discharged under this provision, to give back his signing bonus so that on the day of his discharge, he, like thousands of wounded veterans, found out he actually owed the Army several thousand dollars. And this has happened to 22,500 soldiers in just the last 6 years. Discharging those veterans without benefits is saving the Army $12.5 billion in disability and medical care.
And it's an absolute scandal. And as you know, after I had you on the show several weeks ago to talk about this, there was quite a few letters that came in that were outraged by it. And at that time, if you remember, Joshua, we talked about, you know, how crazy this crisis was because, you know, if we because it really talks about the crisis in medical care delivery as a whole in the society, but also that, you know, it when President Bush says that those who that want to withdraw are not supporting the troops. They're surrendering. You know, that this is not supporting the troops by doing this. It's absolutely unbelievable when I hear it again from you that somebody who loses their hearing in, you know, in Iraq because of the bombs now is diagnosed with a personality disorder. It's hard not to laugh at the absurdity of that charge.
It's a nationwide problem that really runs from the absurd to the very painfully difficult. I like to say about these things, they're always comical from afar. With Specialist Town, you know, now being so wounded, he's having a hard time holding a job. And, of course, went so many months without medical care because he was diagnosed through this provision. I think of the case of William Wooldridge, whose schizophrenic delusions were seen as personality disorder, Richard Dykstra, whose bilateral hernia was classified as the result of personality disorder. Susie, since we last spoke, I looked at the case of one soldier who damaged the lens of his eyeball in Iraq. They said that damage came from personality disorder.
I am so glad you're doing the work that you're doing, Joshua, but it's just unbelievable, as I said, and it's hard to, and I'm sure the listeners will agree. But as you have informed me that there's at the center of this storm around this issue, Surgeon General Gail Pollack, apparently, and I want you to talk about this, was presented with a stack of all of these cases, and she then went on a five-month investigation, as you say, and concluded that all of these cases were properly diagnosed. Can you talk about that?
That's right. Surgeon General Pollack's five-month review of these cases, including Specialist Town, determined that all of the diagnoses and discharges were proper, including Towns, whose deafness was seen as personality disorder. They released a statement saying that they had given a thoughtful and thorough review to each of these cases before deciding that they were indeed properly diagnosed. But I did a touch more reporting and found out that that review was a sham. In the 5 months they spent doing this review, they didn't interview a single person, not even the soldiers themselves. What they did do is go back to the doctor's offices where these false diagnoses were made and basically ask the doctor whether they got it right the first time. The doctor said, yep, we did. And they closed the investigation at that point. I tried to press the Surgeon General on this question of why no soldiers were interviewed. They tried to duck this question, but on my 21st phone call, I finally broke through to her spokeswoman, Cynthia Vaughn. Mm-hmm. And Ms. Vaughn gave an explanation I think your listeners will find quite troubling. She said that the Surgeon General felt this many months after the soldier's discharge that they wouldn't have any medically valid information to share about their cases. You know, certainly in Specialist Towns' case, if he had been deaf before joining the Army, he might have remembered that. If he had been too ill to serve from his very first day, perhaps his commanders who had watched him earn a dozen medals over 7 years of strong performance would have had some comments. But Surgeon General Gail Pollack didn't feel that way, and so she shut down the investigation without interviewing anybody.
I'm speaking.
You talk about the comedy of the situation. They really have bungled. They're not just the investigation, but also their cover-up. As one source said to me, they're doing everything to cover up this scandal and doing a lousy job. For example, I received a memo from Lieutenant Colonel Bob Tallman that went even farther than Surgeon General Pollack's statement. He said that they had gone back and reviewed all the cases from the last 4 years at Fort Carson, where Specialist Town was based, and determined all of those cases were properly diagnosed. I called Lieutenant Colonel Tallman, asked how they could consider this review thoughtful and thorough if they didn't interview a person. And he said to me, well, I'm not really sure that we can. And he said, Joshua, let me be clear with you. I didn't write this memo, and I have no knowledge of its contents. He said his name and office were simply stamped on the bottom to provide, as he put it, an army face for this issue. I found out later that the real writer of that memo was Cynthia Vaughan, Surgeon General Gail Pollock's spokeswoman. She admitted to that, but later I found out this four-year review didn't even occur.
The four-year review or the five-month review?
Well, the five-month review was done by the doctors who created the original diagnoses, and the four-year review referred to in the Tallman memo simply didn't happen at all.
I'm speaking with Joshua Kors, and he has published an article in The Nation magazine on April 9th about how Specialist Town lost its benefits, but it uncovers much more than that. It's the way that the returning vets are being denied their medical and other benefits by being misdiagnosed with personality disorder diagnosis. And Joshua is now explaining on this Memorial Day about how this scandal has taken place. And what you're saying, Joshua, sounds like a really bad version of Heck of a Job Michael Brown with Gail Pollock and her office now scrambling to cover up what they haven't done. But maybe you should talk a little bit more and again get into what effect that's having on Capitol Hill.
I will. One more point about the comedy of this. There was a later statement by the folks at Fort Carson who had participated in this investigation saying they had gone back and looked at the cases of personality disorder and found that 56 of them had post-traumatic stress disorder, but that all of those were properly diagnosed. 56 cases properly diagnosed, but they admitted in the same breath they could only find 52 of them. I pressed them on that question. How could they determine that four of these cases were properly diagnosed if they had lost or misplaced them? They said they didn't have an answer to that question.
So what do you think's going on?
Well, it's even more troubling than that because the military regulations explicitly state that when a soldier does have post-traumatic stress disorder, they are required to have a medical board and be discharged in a way that makes them available for disability benefits. By admitting that these 56 soldiers actually had post-traumatic stress disorder, they were admitting wrong. But again, you know, with the bungled lines of communication, they told me they couldn't explain it further than that.
But that's 56 out of 22,500 who have now been given this fake diagnosis of personality disorder. And you're saying that even just in these 56 cases, they've completely botched the cover-up.
The revelation is coming bit by bit. I think the sheets are falling off this scandal. And you referred to congressional action.
Mm.
Nine senators have now called for an investigation of this scandal, including Barbara Boxer, Joseph Lieberman, Barack Obama, and Senator Kit Bond, the one congressman who was there at that original meeting with the Surgeon General in which she was given the stack of personality disorder cases. For a while, it seemed like everyone was going to talk big and do nothing. People gave a lot of talk about how they care for the soldiers, but everyone was too afraid to even mention the phrase personality disorder in public. But that changed just yesterday after the congressional delegation came back from Fort Carson and shared their own experiences at the base interviewing soldiers. Senator Kit Bond has written a letter to the Secretary of the Army, Secretary Pete Garron, asking him now to look into this personality disorder scandal and to make doing so his top priority.
So we now have the situation, and really kudos to you, Joshua Kors, for uncovering this scandal, where it's received congressional attention, and you've got now a letter that and senators on board, including the congressman Kit Bond, demanding action on this thing. Is it likely to become public, and we're going to now know beyond The Nation magazine, but in the more mainstream press about this scandal?
It looks like it will. This afternoon, I had a wonderful conversation with the chairman of the House Veterans Affairs Committee, Congressman Bob Filner. He is signing on to this memo that Senator Bond created, and he's going to be distributing it throughout the House side of Congress. He told me he's working now to organize joint hearings with the VA committee and the Armed Services Committee. And he said if the Armed Services Committee doesn't want in on this, he's determined to hold open public hearings with the VA committee himself. That would give a chance for these soldiers, for the very first time, to share their story on camera with the American people in a way that will bring this story home, flesh and blood, way it just hasn't before this.
And it's also very it's important that this is a bipartisan effort, too, because isn't Congressman Bond a conservative from Missouri?
Very much so. And he also has a personal connection to this war with his son having served. That makes him a unique figure as well. It's anyone's guess as to what's going to happen from here. As you know, in the wake of the Walter Reed scandal, the Department of Defense took two actions. They accepted the resignation of Surgeon General Kevin Kiley, and they hired the public relations firm LMW Strategies with a $100,000 no-bid contract to put a positive spin on the scandal. I think it'll be interesting to see what happens with Surgeon General Pollack in the wake of this $12.5 billion scandal.
Well, do you think she's going to be the next person forced to resign or that will resign? I mean, we're seeing this very, one after another now in the Bush administration.
Well, I've learned in the course of reporting on this story never to predict government action. But if things continue as they are, perhaps she will be a central figure in the hearings about this issue, called to answer for the false, empty investigation that she and her office committed.
Okay, well, I thank you so much for your work, Joshua Kors, and for this update. And we will, of course, come back to you as we hear further developments. But thank you on this Memorial Day for, again, highlighting what's happening to our returning vets.
Thank you, Susie.
Thank you. And Joshua Kors is a freelance journalist based in New York. You can look at his original article at thenation.com. It's called House Specialist Town Lost His Benefits. It was in the April 9th issue.